The landlord of the Cricketers swept the pavement in front of his public house, on the edge of the green. He looked up when he saw her, and paused, righted his broom, and crossed his hands on the top.
"Beautiful day again, Mrs. Harrington, eh?"
"A little too hot for me, Mr. Brace." Flora raised her free hand in a wave, and winced as her leather boot rubbed her right ankle. The sting there told her a blister would form soon to add to her discomfort. The basket dragged against her hip, causing her to regret her offer to fetch the provisions the grocer had failed to deliver that morning, an omission that had sent her mother-in-law into a barrage of complaints about tradesmen in general. An occasional click of leather on willow, accompanied by a languid shout, drifted across the green enclosed by trees that had been saplings before Queen Elizabeth's time. Cricketers in white trousers and shirts loped across the field, too indolent to run in the oppressive heat. The weather had been stiflingly hot and dry for the past week, the exhausting humidity worsened by the constant dust thrown up from horses and carts on the roads that clung to buildings, clothes, and damp skin. Flora turned into Old Palace Lane, whose row of neat townhouses thinned out into larger properties, set behind shoulder-high manicured hedges. The River Thames at the far end of the road shimmered like glass in the sunlight. Even the river looked too languid to move, as starlings and blackbirds flew low enough to dip their beaks in the cool water. Flora quickened her stride in anticipation of a cool drink, as the house where she lived with her husband and mother-in-law came into view on her left. At the gatepost, she slowed, frowning. Something wasn't right. A sharp bonfire smell caught the back of her throat, where a minute before the air had been laden with the scent of summer flowers and cut grass. While she ruminated on where it came from, the distinctive sound of breaking glass reached her, followed by a female scream. Flora's head filled with grim possibilities that swirled and collided just as a thick cloud of grey smoke wafted over the hedge that shielded the house from the road. Dropping the basket, she broke into a run across the gravel drive, where sharp stones cut through the soles of her boots. But she pounded on toward the house, where orange flames licked round the window frame on the lower ground floor. Flora froze a few feet away, watching in horror as the paint bubbled, wrinkled, and turned black. Vein-like cracks appeared in the glass, spread outwards, and exploded into a thousand glittering shards that rained down onto the area steps. She threw up an arm as searing heat surged toward her, then sucked back again into the basement as the fire roared like a live creature consuming the room. Fear she could almost taste gripped her as she went through a mental list of who might still be inside the house. Bunny was at the motorcycle factory in Penge and wouldn't be back until early evening, though just then she didn't know if this was a good thing or not. He would have known what to do. Should she go inside to ensure there was no one left in the house, or run to her neighbours and summon the fire brigade? Apart from the crackle and spit of the flames, the front of the house remained ominously silent. Her mother-in-law had been inside the house when Flora had left to fetch the groceries a half hour before. Had she got out? Or was she inside and too frightened to try and leave? Flora gathered her courage and sprinted for the front door, just as the side gate flew open and crashed against the wall. Mary, the kitchen maid, burst through from the rear garden, her face streaked with soot that had settled in unsightly smuts on her cap and apron. "Miss Flora! Miss Flora! The house is on fire!" She twisted her apron between her hands, wavered, and took a step back the way she had come, then changed direction.